Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi. Hello. Sorry, I'm so used to Kirk. Kirk always starts us off. This is a special edition of the Pod Maverick podcast. It's Josh Boats, Kirk Henderson. If you are watching on YouTube, you'll see we have a special guest, Mike Pellucci from D Magazine. Mike, how's it going? Mike.
Good to be here, boys. You invited me on. Kirk was generous enough after the death of my Mavericks podcast, the only Mavericks podcast, to tell me just to pop up whenever. And I didn't want to abuse that privilege. But I felt like we had something good to talk about tonight that I could actually lend some useful perspective on. So I exercised my privilege, and now here I am.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome. If you don't know, Mike wrote a tremendous cover story for D Magazine that actually went into the magazine. It wasn't just an online article. This was print magazine, which is near and dear to my heart. I know me and Kirk are a little bit older. We grew up with Sports Illustrated, even ESPN, the magazine, which kind of sounds silly, but I remember being excited for those two. And it's great.
I'm sorry. I got to gush for a second.
No.
When I opened this thing, number one, you teased it with these photos that Dirk did where I had two people ask if they were AI. And Dirk actually participated.
People mentioned asking if they were AI.
And Dirk is participating in this photo shoot, and it's an incredible. It's just a classic, long, like hashtag long read from my youth on the internet, and I was so excited to sit down and read this thing, and the best part about it, I'm very curious what Josh's takes are from the journalist side of stuff, because it's like I can't imagine like. The sheer number of words in this scare me because it feels like it's like the 17-page high school English paper that I would have put off. And it's just, you know, as I'm reading it, I had no idea I missed Dirk quite like I do as I'm reading this thing. And it's just, it's a special story. We're going to link it in the show notes, which I didn't do beforehand because I'm just really good at this job. We're going to put it in the comments. You should go seek this thing out. Take your time. It's in a day and age where we're fed so much video slop. This is a story that you will want to spend time with.
Yeah, maybe even hold it in your hands if you're in the DFW area. Go find a copy.
You can buy a copy. You can subscribe to the magazine. You can buy an individual copy on our website. These are options available to you as well.
I might have to do that and get it.
I mean, honestly, the cover is so good. Like, I hope you guys are getting, like, you know, like Mike, I hope you get a little, you get that framed and put in your office or whatever. Because
that's my Dirk, like, that's my Dirk Nowitzki wall. Of wall
art. There's a nice spot. Just wait. There's a nice spot.
I think I might. That's a good idea. Yeah. Gosh.
No. It's all of it's good. I mean, obviously, not trying to be a company man here, but Mike and the D Magazine crew. I mean, they there's a lot of talented people that worked on this. It seems like you guys were firing in all cylinders, and of course, the centerpiece is Mike's story. And I wanted to ask the first thing. Is this is probably the most I have heard, and you kind of get into this in the piece. This is the most Dirk has talked about post-retirement life since he retired. We've gotten snippets, and I think it's understandable. We haven't heard too much from him since he retired because for 21 years, he talked to media for like 200 days a year. So like when he's retired and it's not part of his job, why the hell is he going to talk to anyone? He's going to go make up for lost time, which you kind of get at very extensively in this piece. So this is the most I've heard about Dirk's post-retirement life since he retired. How does this happen? Was this a hard pitch? I know Dirk is famously gung-ho for doing pretty much anything, as you know, with the videos that the Mavericks would do in the arena, he almost never says no. But this, like, was there a point where you were like, is this going to happen? Will he let us do this? Or what was that process like?
Yeah, so we'll go back to December when the news leaks that he's doing Amazon, because that's really the peg for the story. Is that, right. You know, I'm guessing everybody who watches the show is aware Dirk is doing television for Amazon later this month. His first real job in retirement. And when I saw that news, my natural impulse was to reach out to Scott, who used to run PR for the Mavs, is now Dirk's right-hand man. Scott and I have a good relationship. Worked with him when he was on the team side there. I did a big feature when I was with The Athletic on J.J. Barea coming back from his torn Achilles. And that was kind of, I think, that was really key because that was the first time I'd worked directly with Scott and he'd see me do something really ambitious. You know, same type of feature as this. That's probably a 5,500 words, something to that effect. So I asked Scott, I said, hey, would he talk for this? You know, and I, in any form, because look, if you're the City Magazine of Dallas, and let's be real, not just the greatest Dallas athlete of all time, maybe the most popular person in Dallas. Like, does anybody in the city of Dallas have a higher approval rating than Dirk Nowitzki? It's like Roger Staubach, maybe. It's another athlete, but it's real high up there. Anytime we have a reason to talk to Dirk, I'm going to ask. So what I told Scott, and this is really where we open the story here, is like, because I figured everybody's going to want to talk to him for this. Like, what are we going to do that's different? That's kind of how anytime you're getting in the door with somebody like this, you have to have something that's worth their time. And the question that I had when I heard this was just, I kept thinking about, and you guys know this every bit as well as I do, this is a guy who, when he was 19 years old, couldn't function in America. In no small part because he could not speak the language, right? English was so daunting to him. He could not communicate. And even like after the first year, because we all know after the first year, he almost went back home. He didn't. But even after then, this story opens in the Utah series in 01. So he's 22 at that point. He's been here 3 years. And it opens with a very – we could get into it or not get into it, but it opens with a tough moment of him speaking English. So – and it kind of – that moment kind of scarred him and set him back.
I didn't realize – I didn't realize that was a fuck up of English. I just thought that was him being like, fuck Utah. Like, I had no clue until I read that opening. I must have either never seen it before or buried it. Incredible.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, basically the 5-game series back then, right? Which I'm a big proponent of 5-game series. We got to bring those back. But the layoff, I guess the schedule of layoff was so long between games 1 and 2, you could actually fly back to Dallas. And so the Mavs did that, and they're doing their last shoot around before they go back to Utah for game 2. Dirk's finished up a workout with Holger. He sees one cameraman, and his impulse, because he's pretty shy, is he wants to kind of jog past that guy. But something inside him was like, you know what? I'm going to try to talk to this dude. And so he goes over to him, and the cameraman asks, hey, well, why didn't you just stay in Utah between games? And in his brain, he wants to kind of explain, like, look, you don't want to stay there because you can get your routine in at home. You can sleep in your own bed. And Utah fans are actually surprisingly intense and can, you know, smack talk you in the street and all that stuff. Well, he didn't speak English well. And what comes out is Utah is a bad city. And he laughs about it now. And there's a sign of the game the next night. I never knew this part. There was a sign of the game that said Germany is a bad city, which is just incredible.
Oh, good.
But he got booed out of the building. And if you look at the box score, he played like crap. And in his brain, he's like, I'm done. I'm not talking anymore. Like, I will just be, you know, I'll say what I need to say. I will do canned answers. I will avoid this stuff. If I don't talk, I can't mess something up. So what I wanted to know, and I wasn't thinking about that scene in particular. That was when Dirk, when we sat down and I brought this question up to him, he reminded me of that moment. What I just remember is the 19-year-old guy couldn't speak English. And I just want to know, if you told that guy who was just struggling to stay afloat in America that his career would be one of the greatest basketball careers ever, that, and this is, I mean, I phrased it this way in the story because I asked it to him this way, that this guy would succeed in basketball to such a degree, he could do whatever he wanted the rest of his life, or nothing. He could just travel and hang out, which is basically what he's done for a lot of the last 6 years. And yet he would choose to work a job, and that job would be to speak in English to millions of people around the globe every week, 7 months out of the year. What would that dude think? And how do we get from that guy to this guy? So that was in my head. And when I pitched Scott Tomlin on this, I said, look, I want this to be a story about communication. And I want this to be a story, like Kirk said, like, I want to know what's been going on the last 6 years. Because he's kind of hidden in plain sight. Like, we know he's here. We've seen the big moments, right? We know the jersey retirement, the statue, the Hall of Fame. We know he's doing community events. But, like, what's he doing? Yeah, I know he's here, but I don't know what he's doing. And I would really like to know. And those things, I think, so we had a clear idea of what we wanted to do. The Anchorman stuff came way later. But this is all back in like January-ish when we basically in December it leaks. I ask, will he do something? Scott says, talk to me when this is official. Gets official in January. I reach out. We have a good pitch. Scott knows me and knows, has at least a good reason to think I won't screw this up. The other piece that's really, I think, key to this is my old pal, Zach Crane, who passed away a year ago and wrote, you know, Thomas Plötzinger wrote the best book about Dirk Nowitzki. Zach wrote the best book that involves Dirk Nowitzki because it's really a memoir of Zach and Dallas and Zach's son. But Zach did all the Dirk stories for us at T Magazine. And there was a lot of love and respect for Zach. I mean, when Zach died, Dirk was in Europe. Dirk sent a message in to Isaac, Zach's son, at the funeral. So Dirk really is the sort of dude who remembered Zach and the work that he'd done. And so as a result, because that bridge was built, he had a lot of good experiences with D Magazine in the past. And so you kind of ball that up, and I thought we had a chance. And what I figured was going to happen, I was like, you know, I think if nothing else, if he does a local story, we can be that story. And then it's me, and it's probably ESPN or The Athletic, two or three other bosses. And it turned out that basically Scott said, hey, he's going to do one story before this thing, and you're the story. So that was really cool and just also an insane amount of pressure.
Yeah, but that pressure, man.
Yeah, right. So then you really can't screw up. Because, and that was like, you know, I've done this long enough that I don't tend to get nervous too much anymore. But this was one where it's like, if I screw this up, number one, I mean, you know, you if you're from Dallas, Texas, like I am, and you've grown up in this city and you spent time here and you work in the city, like, you know, if you had to make a list of dream people to profile, this is in the top 2 or 3 or number 1, and you don't think you're necessarily going to get time like this. So I would screw it up for myself, but more importantly, I'd screw it up for my friend who died. I would screw it up for the company. It would just be, I don't want to screw it up. But yeah, so once we knew that all was going to happen, this is generally about April or so. And Dirk, the other thing that throws a wrench in it is Dirk spends almost the entire summer in Europe with his family. Mm-hmm. So we had to do something different where usually like you report the story and then you do the photo shoot late. Well, we kind of, I did the first sit down with him in late April. And then we had like one day in May where we could do a shoot with him and get it ready before he was going to go to Germany. Cause he's doing his big Mother's Day event. And he was overseas for a bit he's on the board of FIBA, which is one of many things that I feel like we know, but we don't really know. Like if you Google Dirk Nowitzki FIBA, you will see his title, but did anybody ever really talk about that here? I never heard much about that here.
It's like one of those things that as I get older and I find myself drawn to international basketball in weird ways, yeah. I want to know more about what he's doing because it's undercovered here that like, I mean, you talk to like, we have various European fans and I'm sure you guys did on your podcast. You talked to them like Dirk is a giant in basketball yeah. in Europe. So yeah. it's really interesting.
Yeah. So he was overseas. We had one day to do the photo shoot. And then we could get, you know, that, and at this point we, in-house, I'm keeping everybody updated. I'm like, I think this is going to happen. And I'm like, well, what do we want to do? We have to shoot this early. What do we want to do? And I can't remember if it was one of our editors, Tim Rogers and Kathy Wise are our two lead editors. And I think one of them said, what if we got him dressed up like Ron Burgundy? And you guys know, like, look, who was better at Jumbotron bits than Dirk Nowitzki in the NBA? Nobody. So we at least thought we're like, he might go for this. And what I basically found out, I ran this by them. I do the first interview because I'm like, I'm not going to tell him this idea until after we've done most of the interviewing. So that if he hates it, at least I've gotten the interview done. I haven't poisoned the well. And so I bring it up and they were just like, yeah, I think we could do that. And like, we're into it. I think they were cautious about it. I later found out from Scott Tomlin that Scott's basically like, we were going to see what it was like, but there was a way that we were worried this could kind of get campy in a hurry. Sure. But credit to Stephen Arevalos, who's our art director, Elizabeth Laban, who is the best photographer in Dallas. I mean, she's Erica Buddy, who's like personal photographer. She's insane. You know, a bunch of people built these incredible sets. And there's the stuff that, you know, that we just saw on the screen there. We recreated the Ron Burgundy cover. We got Jay Lombardo, the famous tailor in Dallas, to recreate the whole suit for him.
Wow.
And then we created a whole second set. Which if you see the story itself, there's some images online, but it's also in the magazine. We recreated the whole jazz flute scene. We recreated like the brick wall of the jazz club. We got on the turtleneck. We bought a freaking flute off of Amazon. And I mean, dude, he's just leaning into all of this. And basically we come out the other side of it. And Scott was like, look, we were a little skeptical, but this was like some of the most fun he's had doing these ever. This is so good.
And you got him to shave him. You got like that's his mustache. Like he had a mustache.
Yeah, but that's I think the part where everybody thought it was AI, right?
Yeah.
Like nobody recognized the mustache. What we did is he just shaved down the stubble because he never goes totally clean shaven. Mm-hmm. So he shaved it down to where he didn't have a full mustache, but we colored it. So that's how it looks a little darker. And I think that's how it threw some people off. We had a really great makeup person. I believe Lisa Williams is her name, and so she put that on him. And then. The other cool piece, if you go to our Instagram, you'll see some of these. Mike Marshall, who used to be with the Mavericks, was not here at the time when we shot all this stuff. Somebody else was doing videography, but Mike Marshall works for us at D Magazine now and has for the last several months.
Oh, great. And, I didn't know that.
Oh, did you not know this?
No, it's summertime. Yeah, my brain turns off. I'm glad. I'd kind of wondered happened. But so Mike has been with us for several months.
Well, did you see that Dumb Zone interview?
Yes. I just, but you know, it's like, what? That's a whole other, let's talk about, let's, yes.
Keep going on your story. But Mike's not doing that unless he's working somewhere else. Well, Mike's working with us now. So Mike, and listen, as far as I'm concerned, the two most talented people in Dallas who work in sports are Mike Marshall and Jacob, because they both can do so much in so many different mediums. And Machine is incredible at all kinds of stuff. And so he takes this video that he didn't even shoot. He wasn't there for it. And he just cut this up into such great stuff. And so if you go on our Instagram, you'll see some videos. And I mean, Dirk is just ripping Anchorman lines. And Mike recreated basically kind of the opening scene of Anchorman where, you know, you've got the helicopter thing and you've got, you know, Dirk stepping out and, you know, it's the whole like describing, you know, Tim Rogers wrote a script about Dirk as the Anchorman and all this stuff. And then it culminates in the scene where like Dirk's doing the thing. He's like getting ready. It's the Ron Burgundy thing. He's like, I look good. I look real good. And I'm on set watching him do this. He's just like, hey, everybody, come see how good I look. And I'm just dying because he leans into every little bit. And there's some point in this where I'm just reading him Anchorman lines to repeat on camera. And I'm just like, what is my life right now? How did this become a thing that I'm doing?
The first third of the story, you kind of comment on his appearance and then make reference to his various looks over the years. And there's also that gallery of a lot of his different hairstyles. And one of the things that really makes it work, at least for me, and I just find this funny considering how goofy Dirk has looked over the years, he has aged into like a remarkably handsome man. Like he's just, he's going to be great looking on television because he's just, he's got this comfort about him and the haircut. It all really works. Like some of his haircuts over the years. And so he just looks really good right now. Like that's all of it. It's great.
No, I think I would put it in there as like just his age suits him. But like, I just kind of had this thought, like, I think there's some people who just like should, like when you see them at a certain age, you're like, yeah, that's how you should look. And for whatever reason, like when I see him at like 47, I'm like, yeah, that just looks right on you, man. You look great. Like he just, to Kirk's point, like he just, I think he's like, I describe him as like the cool adjunct professor. Like he just, the whole vibe works for him. Like he's living his best life right now. And you know, look, retirement and traveling the world and hanging out, that probably doesn't hurt either. Just he's living.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A good life right now.
Josh, you've asked one question and we've got 20 minutes of content. This is the podcast life that I'm talking about. Yes. Okay, so keep going. So you get that that photo shoot happens in May, and so yep. How do we get to here?
So he goes to Europe. At this point, I did the first big interview with him, and then I knew I was going to do a Zoom with him when he was in Europe sometime in July-ish, which is what we did. So between those two things, I'm just trying to talk to everybody I can who has a good perspective. So that ranges from – I talked to Scott and I talked to Lisa Tyner because they are people who are among the closest people to him in his life. I talked to – Mark Falwell's done TV with him, so Mark's got a great perspective. Talk to Mark. Brian Damaris, who also is with me and Josh on the Mavs crew at D Magazine. Brian's known him for years and years. Talked to Brian about him. I get very late in the process. I get Steve Nash, who was an amazing, amazing help for the story. I talked to some folks at Amazon, Taylor Rooks, who's the host of the show. I talked to her, talked to one of the executives who put it on. He worked with the voice coach. So I talked to the voice coach.
Oh, really?
Talked to Devin Harris. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's when I told Devin Harris this, he was like, Dirk's got a voice coach. Of course Dirk's got a voice coach, because like Dirk's not going to, you know, and that's a kind of a thing we get into a bit in the story, but there's even more that I left out just because, I mean, God, it's like 6,500 words. We don't need everything in there. But, but you know, one of the things that he's really trying to refine is like, how do I have a process of like making sure I'm watching the games I need to be watching? But like, I have three kids. I can't be watching basketball like I used to watch when I played, because, you know, Nash put it really well, which is like, everybody's meticulous when you play. But like when Nash played, he did a documentary. He did a 30 for 30 documentary. He got into like books. He had all these causes and all these things he was into. Dirk didn't do any of that. Dirk just was basketball all the time. He felt he had to have really singular focus, because to him, like anything less than that was half-assed again. He doesn't half-ass stuff. So for TV, he's like, I need to be prepared, but I'm not going to be like, you know, neglecting my kids to do this. So how do I find my routine and my rhythms where I'm watching things and all this stuff? And I'm curious to find out, you know, next time I chat with him, like how has that gone? Have you figured it out yet? Because it's, you know, it's gonna be a learning process. But basically, I talked to all these people, and then in July, I talked to him again. And then in the magazine life, you know, if it's out in August, really subscribers were getting this in late September. We were closing the issue mid to late August. I had to have a first draft done by probably the first third of August, something like that. So you're really working like 2 months ahead of time. I've got a piece of the December issue that I'll have to get done in the next couple of weeks of October, essentially. So, yeah, so you get it done. And then thankfully, there wasn't really a whole lot we had to do revising-wise, which is always good. It means I'm making my editors' lives easier, even though they both, you know, Tim Rogers and Holland Murphy, they both made it better and kind of honed in those little things and kind of punched up even more. And then it was just a matter of waiting to get done. And, you know, the other thing, too, is like I did not tell this, you know, there's some things I don't mind telling people I'm working on. I didn't really tell a lot of people.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That's what I was going to ask, because it's like this feels like it came out of nowhere where you dropped the photo and you're like, hey, I got this thing coming. And I don't have it. Yeah. I don't have the writing anymore. Like since I've had children, only getting like unholy angry at Nico Harrison actually drives any of my writing chops.
It's a lot more difficult. Yeah.
At what point did you know you had something? Like it, where in this process where you're like, oh yeah, this is going to be one of those. Cause this is a special piece, man.
I appreciate it, dude. I don't know. I mean, like, look, I kind of just mentally map out, you know, with my job, it's one part running a whole sports section, which Josh is a big part of what we do. It's another part writing stuff online all the time as part of that. And then there's whatever stuff I do in the magazine. And so I kind of know going in, for the sake of my sanity, I can probably only do 3, maybe 4 big features a year. Before I had my daughter, I could probably do a little more, but I just can't, because there's just so much going on. So like, you know, I mean, look, I knew that if I got time with Dirk, I was going to make sure I reported the hell out of it and I'd have a lot to work with. Like when you know it's a good story or not, I don't know. I mean, I think like, I guess like I've done it enough and I just am so meticulous enough and I'll just kill myself enough that like I know whatever I file is good. And then it's just a matter of like, do people think it's really good or is it just good? And that's for other people to decide. Like I didn't walk away. I'm also really, really hypercritical of everything I do. There are probably only like 4 stories ever that I've done in 15 years of doing this where I'm just like, oh yeah. And I can read it back now and I'm just like, that's exactly what I wanted to do and exactly how I wanted to sound. And I won't nitpick every bit of this. I'll nitpick like 3 lines. This is one that I like, there's a lot of stuff that I really like, but there's also stuff that I can go back and look at. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could have changed that. Because the reality is like a lot of this story just gets written at like from 9 p.m. to like 3 a.m. on multiple nights, because I just, with the amount of stuff I have to do with the rest of my job, I can't sit there and hold myself away for a week and write. Just too many other things to fall through the cracks. So I don't know. Like, it's tough. Like, I knew it would be good. I'm just the sort of person, and I don't mean this sounding insensitive. Like, this is just, there's some people who can work really well, really fast on things. I'm the sort of person who, if you give me enough time to solve the problem, I will solve the problem, but I need time to work on stuff. And so I knew I would not let it be bad. I just didn't know from there, like, to what degree of really good it is or not. And that's for other people's side. I think people really liked it. So I guess there's that. But, you know, there's certain things along the way when you report too that you just, somebody says to you, like, I knew certain things, like, you know, the stuff we started when I found out he took Harvard Business School classes, and I started going to all that stuff. And I talked to the other guy I talked to the professor who got him into all this, who did a case study on Dirk. I was like, nobody has that. When I talked to him about and then certain things that he was cool about talking with me about, that, you know, I feel like we had a good rapport and he was comfortable enough. And, you know, little things that, you know, him telling me about, like, I think he appreciated the fact, and I try to do this with every story, but I think especially you with somebody like this guy, you have to do all your homework. You have to do all your research. The amount of stuff I went back and read, little things that I forgot. Like, for instance, maybe you guys remember this better than me. I somehow memory hold, or I missed, but he said it in a lot of interviews, especially in the last year, that he really liked the idea of being somebody else's holder. And I never saw anybody really elaborate on that. Okay, so maybe I'm not alone in this.
Yeah,
he said it in a case study. He said this. I went back. His foundation has a lot of videos he did right after the retirement when it was all really fresh to him. He said it in there too. He said it in some other news story late in his career. I saw it multiple mentions. So I asked him. I said, have you done this? And that's what he said. And he smiled. And he's just like, all right, nobody really knows this. But – and then it turns out – and like Dirk being Dirk, he's not going to name drop. But there are people who like already – just like text him and were like, hey, can you help me with shooting? And so Dirk's like, Dirk's whole philosophy with Holger was like, we have no secrets. So whatever you want, I'll tell you. So these people are like, I want to make set shots at a 45% clip. And Dirk is just sending text. And then he's like, no, I'll send you a video. This is how the hand placement has to be. Do the hand placement like this. And then he goes into how he's visiting Holger, because Holger's still training people, even though he's like pushing.
That's wild. I couldn't believe that when I saw that story. I'm like, I'm glad he's alive.
Put it this way. You can't, but you can, right? You sit and you're like, no way. But then you, everything you know about Holger, it's like, oh,
he's like a Supreme Court justice. If he stops doing it, he's going to die.
So, you know, then like Dirk's telling me about how, like, apparently Dirk does, or Holger does this thing too. He does a rowing camp for the people he trains. And then, of course, like, I'm asking Dirk about this, and Holger's like militant about it. He doesn't want teenagers lifting weights. He thinks it stunts their growth. But rowing is a great way to get a full body workout and build strength. And I'm like everything Holger does, when you hear it first, you're like, that's crazy. And then you hear why, and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, get that. But like Dirk shows up at the camp, and like the best guy there is already playing in the German Bundesliga, which is the top professional league. And so Dirk pulls him aside and is like, the guy just asked me to shoot with Dirk. And then Dirk winds up working with him for an hour and putting him through all these drills. And like, the biggest grin comes over his face. He's just like, that stuff, man, that stuff, I really get a kick out of that. And so I'm like, oh, okay, we got something here. And the FIBA stuff, I feel like, you know, so it's just like talking to him. And like, you know, and the other thing that I think got open up about some stuff about his insecurities. There was a piece, maybe you guys remember this. It's less than a year after Crystal Taylor. And it was an ESPN The Magazine feature written by Allison Glock, who's one of the best magazine writers of the last probably 20 years. She's phenomenal. And she talked to Dirk, and this was Dirk at like his emotional lowest. This was January of 2010. So this is, which is crazy, because knowing what we know now, like the title's coming. But at this point, his relationship's over. The team is, you know, this is 09-010 Mavs. They've stalled out. They don't look like they're going anywhere. And it's dark. And if you read the last, like, I'm a big believer when I write magazine stories, I'm like, don't close with quotes unless they're saying something great, because generally, you know, you could probably write better than anybody can talk. But she just got him to talk, and he is going on that, like, the last two graphs of the story are just his words from where he's at age 31. And he's talking, he's like, I don't think a lot of people, I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have a rent from me, but you should go read this story. It's an incredible time capsule where Dirk is on his life.
Remember this at all.
And look, and it's a sign too of like, I can sit here and I can say I did my job, but this stuff only goes as well as the subject wants to talk to you. And it's a credit to Dirk that he wanted to trust me and he wanted to be comfortable with me. And, you know, and frankly, like, the stuff he's talking to me about is way less heavy than he talked to her about 15 years ago. So like, he's, you know, he gets even more credit for being that kind of person then. This is a lot of this is germane to who he is. But he's talking about how essentially, like, he doesn't have a best friend in Dallas, and a lot of people he thinks don't get him. And he thinks, you know, you can see him talking himself into this about how he's okay with that. And, you know, he's like, I just go home and I play basketball and I go to the game and I do this. I'm like, it's okay that, you know, I'm mostly to myself and I'm okay with that. I don't think it's only a few times that I get frustrated by it. And like, the last line of the piece is, I'm not lonely. am I? And you're just like, oh
God.
And it just, so I read this all back to him. And that's when, like, I was like, how much has changed in your life over the last 15 years? And, you know, do you relate to this guy at all? And he's like, well, and there's a line in there about going on TV and about public speaking stuff. And he says something effective. He's like, the big things now, even now, like, as comfortable as I am in English, like, because he says in the piece, I thought this was interesting, but like, he thinks basketball in English, and English is his first language to him. He thinks German is harder now. He doesn't talk German enough other than his family. So German interviews for him are really, he says he can find himself stumbling.
That made me audibly laugh. Because it's just like, I can't imagine like the brain working.
Same. I can't imagine knowing a second language that well, right? Mm-hmm. So he talks about how, you know, he's like, look, like, I always look like I'm cool and I have it together, but inside, on the inside, I'm pretty trembling. And then he talks about the Hall of Fame speech, and he was a wreck before the Hall of Fame speech. He was just an anxious mess. And he was just like, those 15 minutes were just like so terrifying to him, which is also, again, like, that was only like 2 years ago. So now I'm like, okay, well, that was 15 minutes. You're going to be on TV like 2 hours a week, man. You know, different vibe, different setting, but, you know, it kind of plays into like, this is really interesting that you want to do this, and pretty cool that you want to challenge yourself in that way. And that was another thing that Devin Harris said to me that I thought was really cool, that Dirk, you know, kind of co-signed, was like, Devin Harris thinks that this is all like really just deep down a personal challenge from Dirk to himself of like, I'm introverted. What if I push myself to be more extroverted? And my way of doing this is to be in front of the camera and do something I'm uncomfortable with. And I said that to Dirk, and Dirk was kind of like, yeah, there might be something to that. Cause he said in the Hall of Fame speech, like, ripe as rod, essentially. That's what he told his kids. Like, you don't want to ever be stagnant. And so, like, I think like a lot of his retirement, he's traveling and he's learning, but I think he just doesn't want to be complacent. He's trying to do stuff. And like, man, we all could be doing more of that, you know, like no matter what we're doing, we all could have that kind of mindset of like, how do I push myself a little more? And how do I get out of my comfort zone? Even when I don't have any reason to, because this guy could just sit there and be rich and he has no interest in just doing that.
I have three wildly divergent questions that come to mind from this, but I've talked, and Josh, you go next. I will remember these questions because there's a lot there. This is good stuff.
You mentioned not everything can go in the story because it's over 5,000 words. So what, if you feel comfortable with us, did you leave on the cutting room floor that you find interesting? I'm curious because, I can only imagine how much recordings you're going through of interviews, your notebooks, your notepads. Like, what didn't make it the cut that you still, but that you did kind of take away from, that you really enjoyed from the process?
You know what's interesting is I asked about his ankle, and I was just like, how's your ankle doing? And then we got into a conversation about, like, because I remember he did a podcast with Toni Kroos, who was German soccer royalty. And it was a cool podcast. You can't really, it's in German, so none of us can understand it. But I remember, like, somebody aggregated the clip, and then I had to ask about it because, like, you know, I had to do that with some of the stuff he said about the Mavericks on a podcast with his sister, because I'm like, I don't speak German. I don't know how good these aggregated translations are. But him and Toni were talking about, you know, and it was cool just seeing, like, another mega athlete be such a fanboy of the same guy that, like, so many people here, normal human beings, are fanboy of. Like, Toni Kroos is like one of the best German players ever, and that guy is a Dirk super fan. So he has Dirk on the podcast, and they're talking about the ankle, and like, Dirk was basically like, yeah, I mean, you know, for those that don't know, like, his ankle is gonna be some degree of messed up his entire life. That was the cost of doing what he did. And he didn't know that, you know. And so then I asked him, like, would you do it again? And like, we talked about it, and we talked about the surgery and basically the whole theory of the surgery. I don't know if I heard him lay it out so well from a scientific standpoint. It was like the year before, you know, the end of his career, when he still was, I mean, look, the second to last year, he still was pretty effective at his age, right? He was still pretty useful. His ankle was like really stiff, but it didn't hurt, but it was stiff. And so his whole thing was like, okay, if we get all the bone chips cleared out, then this whole like compacted mass opens up and maybe I get more blood flow and maybe I can move. And basically what it really did was like almost like a Jenga tower where you took some stuff out, and everything just collapsed and got, became a whole big old mess. And then it was just pain all the time. And so we were talking, it was like, you know, what, did you know, if you knew what would happen now, would you do it again? And like, I don't think he didn't have an answer to that question. I didn't necessarily expect him to answer the question, but the answer was not an unequivocal yes. Because some guys just say, like, yeah, I'd do it again. I miss the game so much. I would play every minute I could. That's not him. He wasn't
got kids.
Like, yeah, hell yeah.
He wants to friggin' walk around.
He's got kids.
I do wonder about that surgery.
You know, we talked about that.
No, go, go, go.
Yeah. And so that was all stuff that, like, it's really fascinating to me, but it's also like, yeah, but there's no place for it in the story. And that's kind of the discipline part of what you have to do with a story like this is, like, if it doesn't fit the narrative, you can't use it, even if it's really good. So that was really cool. That was really interesting. And then I have to go through a lot of other stuff. I mean, there's all kinds of just, it was cool watching him talk, break down basketball. Like, he's going to be good at TV. I have no doubt about that.
That's what's so funny to me. So you mentioned something about the Hall of Fame speech and how nervous he was. And so I'm not Dirk Nowitzki, but I have had to go into this short form video. This company that I'm working with is having me do short form video, and I am garbage at it so far because I'm talking to no one. But when I talk to you guys or talk to Josh, it's a conversation between friends. So I can't with this. Dirk's going to get up and he's going to be with Dwayne Wade and he's going to be with Blake Griffin and whoever else is up there. And he's going to be talking amongst his peers and he's going to be an expert amongst his peers. So he's going to look like the college professor. So it's like him auditing that class was so fascinating to me because like, and particularly with how he pulled that one player in the German Bundesliga or whatever it was, asked to talk to him. Yeah. Like once he gets going with what he's comfortable with, it's going to be solid gold. Like I'm really excited about watching him on TV.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to be great, and especially – so the main crew, I think, a lot of the time is going to be Taylor Rooks and Blake Griffin and him. And then I think Wade's going to do more play-by-play than he's going to be doing commentary. So he'll be in there a bit. Nash is going to be there. By the way, Dwayne Wade, top comment on one of on the cover reveal, saying this is good. I was like, oh, they are. They really have buried the hatchet. Look at Dwayne Wade. Our story brought peace to the universe. This is wonderful.
I refuse. Dirk is just a better man than all of us, and that's fine. I'm 40. I'm 41, and Dirk is only 6 years older than me, but he feels like a parental figure, and I will defend him. How dare Dwayne Wade? I can't have peace in our time. Some things, it's largely good, but I do think it is cool that all these. There's an old headset that loves the game, and Amazon has a group of guys that like basketball. And that's going to be and Dirk being
that's the strategy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think they know from talking to people on the Amazon side, like they get the fact that like there's a lot of really negative hoops content out there and they don't want to make a show like that. And I think that will resonate. I think because you watch NFL programming, right? Like there's no reason why like studio NFL programming, they really like the sport and they're really smart talking about it. Like there's no reason you can't have this stuff in the NBA too. And I think they are very determined to create that programming. And I think there are people who are good at it. And like, how can you not have, if you throw like Nash and Dirk and Blake Griffin together, how can you not have a show that's fun and also smart at the same time? Like, it's kind of going to be impossible not to have that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious the one part of the story, because the story is fun. Like it's fun from start to finish. I mean, you're talking about Dirk, like it's not, you know, we're not talking about, you know, this isn't a tragedy. You're writing a fun. This is a fun story, and I can tell you probably had fun from start to finish. Yeah. You do the one part of the story where there could be potential friction is when you start asking him about, you know, the post Luka Mavericks organization and how like what's going on there and kind of filling in the gaps because again, he doesn't talk a lot, and that's part of the story. And so we're trying to fill in the gaps from the outside of Dirk going. You mentioned him going to Luka's game in LA and then him coming to Luka's game in Dallas. And those are the only math games he goes to. And like, we all kind of have to fill in the gaps of how he feels. And we're trying to play armchair psychologist or Monday morning psychologist from our couches without ever hearing him speak. And you talk to him about it. And obviously he doesn't want to comment on everything. And I think he gets through it pretty coming out of it like how I would expect Dirk to come out of it. He's not going to – I don't think you would expect it either. He's not going to be like, yeah, you know, F this guy. You know, I hate these guys for what they do. You know, he plays it like Dirk would. What was that part of the interview process like? Did it fly by? How did you know you needed to approach that with him? Because that's going to be a prickly subject, I would imagine. Like, what was that part of it like? Did you feel like you had to poke and prod him a little bit more or just what was that part of it like?
So, you know, I think like, look, when you go into this sort of thing as a magazine journalist, you you know, especially like a situation, they don't have to talk to me. They don't give me any time of day. Mm-hmm. And this is a relationship that, again, like I mentioned, it predates me at D, and I hope, you know, is built by somebody who wasn't me. And I don't want to be the dude who, you don't want to ever bait and switch somebody, you know, because the story, it genuinely, like, I was not interested in trying to get some tell-all of Dirk's relationship about the Mavericks, because A, he's not going to talk about that, and B, like, I'm way more interested in who this human being is at 47 years old, what he's been doing for the last 6 years of his life. That's so much more interesting to me. So, you know, I told Scott Tomlin, I'm like, look, man, like, this story is not about the Mavericks, but, and you have to remember, this is April. The only comments he had done since the trade, he had an appearance with the ticket, like probably a couple weeks afterwards, and he had already committed to it, and it was like a group thing. And he even says something like, you know, like to the effect of like, because we have a good relationship, like I wouldn't want to talk about this. Otherwise, we have a good relationship. I'm not going to bail on you guys. I want to talk about this. So April, things is pre-Cooper flag. Everybody here is miserable. And I told Scott, I'm like, listen, man, like he can no comment me if he wants. He doesn't have to talk about any of this. I 1,000% respect it. I'm not going to prod him or push him, but I'm not doing my job if I am the only person in a room with this man alone since this in the media, who, since this has happened. And if I'm not asking, I have to ask. You know, and whatever he does from there, I respect it. I just want you to know I'm not going to make this into a piece about the Mavericks. But I have to ask. And they got that, you know, and like it was a thing that do I think he told me the entirety of how he feels about the whole situation? No, probably not. And that's totally fine. That's his prerogative. I do think some of what we talked about was useful. And I think he wanted to talk about some of it because like it does give good context for like in his mind, there's whatever stuff may have. You know, like we've all read the Tim McMahon report, you know, and he wouldn't comment specifically on that about how Casey Smith's, you know, ouster essentially was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. That's not something he talked about. So there might be the reasons that are left unsaid in the piece. And there is a line in that piece. If you read it, you will see it where he says, you know, we're talking about all of the context for how he wasn't ever really as involved as people thought he was in the beginning. But he does say like, and then some changes happened and that didn't really help anything. But I do think it's important to note in the interest of fairness, and he did want to talk about this. He's like, a lot of people kind of made this into something bigger than he intended it to be with this whole special advisor title. Like to him, you know, and like, and Scott Tomlin knew this because Scott wrote the press release. Like if you go back, I mean, really what happened was when we go back to 2021, when Rick leaves the organization, Donnie Nelson gets fired. This is the first time that they've had to overhaul the brain trust in 20 years. Mm-hmm. Kiffin does what I would probably do in that situation too, where it's like, I got to call people I trust to help me figure out who should run this thing. So Kiffin calls Dirk and asks, would you help? And Dirk is like, what's that?
It makes me, this fucking infuriates me. like the special advisor thing. I'm sorry. I'm stepping on your toes. In my mind as a fan, from my view, Kiffin put Dirk up to be a meat shield for his bullshit. That's how this got blown up, because Kiffin sucks at this and does and has sucked at it for 10 years and asked Dirk Nowitzki to take the bullets for him. That's go ahead. I'm sorry. I was
time. But I mean, to your point, you know, however you want to view it, whether it's that or whether you want to view the altruistic version of like, we want to honor Dirk with a title and an office that he doesn't ever go into at the practice facility or whatever. When you see a title, I think everybody, myself included, not knowing the context, thought, oh, well, this is the first step towards Dirk working with the Mavericks. We give him a special advisor title now. Whenever he's ready to come work here, whatever he wants to do, then he'll take a real title. In Dirk's mind, what happened was Mark asked me for help just to help him pick a coaching, you know, a coach and GM. And Dirk tells him, because at this point, he's doing his annual summer vacation. He's in Sweden, which is where they have a family home. He's telling him like, hey, I'm not in a place in my life where I want to be working full time. I can't do anything big, but if you need me, like, what do you need? And Mark's just like, help me be on some calls, blah, 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 for a few weeks. And Dirk's like, sure. So they make a whole big deal out of this. And Dirk helps them, you know, settle on Nico Harrison and Jason Kidd, whatever capacity he's part of that brain trust. And he's like, all right, call me if you need me again. And he's gone. And he comes back because basically Jason, who is one of his favorite teammates, Jason's like, hey, would you want to be around a little bit? And Dirk's like, sure. And I think like, what ends up happening is I think just a chicken and egg thing. I don't think it's anybody's fault. I would bet that if you're the Dallas Mavericks and Dirk Nowitzki's there, nobody tells Dirk what to do. I think everybody probably thought like, this man can do whatever he wants. He's here. Let him do what he wants to do. Meanwhile, Dirk's thinking, hey, you guys asked me to be here, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. Like, am I, you know, and he says in the piece, like, am I a coach? Am I management? Am I something in between? And so it became this thing where, like, he's showing up before, you know, the season, and he's going to practices, and but he's just like, man, like, I'm not really ready for something full time in my life, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know how much I'm even helping. Like, this kind of feels awkward to me.
Most classic Mark Cuban nonsense. No structure, no nothing. Everybody ends up muddy, and half the people involved end up disappointed. Cuban is such a terrible manager.
So what ends up happening is, like, he backs away again, and that's kind of the end of it. So when a lot of stuff went down in, like, in the last, you know, when things start coming out the last 6 months about, like, Dirk's not around the team anymore, in Dirk's mind, set aside whatever stuff about the Luka trade happens, because clearly he's not thrilled about the Luka trade. He's been open about that. But setting that stuff aside, he's also kind of like, listen, like, I wasn't supposed to be around before the Luka trade. Like, this wasn't a thing I was doing. I'm just not there in my life to be, like, you know, really shaping this team. And I think because these expectations were created, that probably made it an even bigger deal. So I think that was something I think he wanted to talk about. And then some of the other stuff, like, look, you know, I think he knows the power that his words hold. This is a smart man. He knows that whatever he says will shape public opinion. And so I think he's just kind of recusing himself beyond that. I think he wanted to clarify, this is how I was or wasn't involved. He did talk about the Luka trade. He gave me some good blow-by-blow. Some guy in the airport heading back from, like, Doha spotted him. It was just like, Dirk, what do you think about the trade? And Dirk's like, what trade? Meanwhile, he's, like, been, you know, on his phone mainlining content for, like, the last several hours. It's like, on the plane, just scrolling the whole time.
I'm choosing to believe Dirk was spiritually part of my 4-hour podcast in the middle of the night.
I mean, listen, there's a non-zero chance he consumed that podcast, because as he tells it, like, apparently when he flies home for these family trips, he's, like, journaling or reading, he's chilling, sure. He's not doing a lot. This was like 18 hours of just, just, like, processing. So I'm sure.
Same. Yeah.
and honestly, you talk about, like, the confusion of his role, and you can't really blame anyone, because Michael Finley, who's one of his best friends and teammates, is a prominent member of the front office. Tyson Chandler, one of his teammates from the 20, is a prominent player development coach. So I think when Dirk is part, you know, I think everyone kind of just assumed, oh, he's being given a title. He's going to be like Finley. He's going to move into this, or he's going to be like Tyson Chandler. And I think that's why that kind of blew up the way it did.
Same thing. And you know, when he says, like, and he said it a number of times since, you know, especially, like, leading up to the tennis event, he started doing a little more media and he was talking about things. And, like, he said a lot, like, if these guys need me, and he told me too, he's like, if they need me, they can call me. I don't think it's bullshit, because like Jason Kidd and, like, Michael Finley are people he cares and loves a lot. If Michael Finley called him tomorrow, he would pick up that phone and do something for Michael Finley for the Mavericks. Like, it's not something where, like, I think he hates the organization or anything like that. He's spoken about them first person plural when he's talking to me, you know? But I think there was expectations and I think hope placed on Dirk having a role that he was not at all ready to have in his life. Could he have it down the road? I don't know. Maybe. I think if you read the piece, like, you come away thinking, like, he might just have too many other things in his life he wants to do. Like, this is not the sort of dude who I think is going to work, like, 15-hour days, you know, just, like, in service to, like, his cell phone for an NBA team. Like, and he's not the sort of guy that, like, I don't think he'd ever want to do some half-assed role at the Mavs because he cares about the team too much. So I could see a world where he never works with the team, but I could also see a world where that changes. Like, his kids get older, they move out, maybe he wants to try it.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I love the part that you put is over the last 6 years where you wrote something to the effect of once his curiosity was sated, he sort of moved on to something new. And I wonder, yeah. Me really wonder how that applies to this element, the Amazon gig, because I wonder how much of it is work versus how much of it is him talking with friends and him analyze. You know what I mean? Like they're, if you love your job, it's not really work. And so it sounds like he's like he's been dipping his toes into things he's interested in, but not enough has held him to enough. And I think that's great. Like that's truly fascinating. Like he's living best life situation thing here. It's like him and the client. Like it's so fascinating, like reading about all this stuff.
I want to ask,
I can totally see this being a new. Yeah, I was just going to say, to your point, Kirk, like, I think he's pretty open about this, too. Like, he's not approaching this like, this will be the next 20 years of my life doing TV. Maybe it is. I don't know. Like, who's his idol? Charles Barkley. Well, these days, more people probably know Charles Barkley is a broadcaster than a power forward, right? So, like, who's to say that doesn't become him at some point doing this? But I don't think this is a thing that he is at all saying, this is my next 20 years. I think it's, I'm going to try this, and I'm going to see if I have fun. And, you know, it's not just talking with friends on TV. Like, he really likes the people at Amazon. He likes the crew at Amazon. He likes all the production folks he's met so far. And that's a big thing for him. Like, he told me, and he was very firm on this, like, if I don't like the people, I'm not doing this because I don't want it to feel like work. I don't have to work. It's, you know, I want this to be something where I enjoy creating with people again. And I think there's an element of, like, every athlete misses the locker room, right? Like, you're not getting that back. But, you know, I've worked in production before for television. My wife worked in it, too. Like, all the stuff we see on TV, that's secondary to the hours and hours of stuff behind the scenes to make that happen. And all of the things you don't know about with just a crew where you're around people, you know, and like, I think he digs that, you know, and he's the guy who like, he's not going to care. Like if you're a PA, if you're cool, he's going to like you. And so I think he, as much as he wants to do this with Nash, and he made sure like he wanted Nash as part of this thing. He helped recruit Nash to do it. But like, he's excited about just everybody he's met over at Amazon who are just normal working people. So yeah, I can see that being a thing. Like maybe he sticks it out, or maybe he's just like, you know, like, and the thing that I wrote about him kind of his interest fading was business. You know, he was really into business at the beginning, like trying to be an entrepreneur, and he's still doing stuff, but like he told me that kind of the curve is flattened a little bit there, you know? So maybe this is that next thing, and maybe he goes and searches for something else. And like, you know, I think what was really cool is like, I think there's so much of the narrative about him has been, you know, we always knew he was more interesting than a lot of NBA players. He's doing a lot of things, these little passing interests. Like you hear these stories about Holger had him play drums, or they went down to the Australian Outback, or they did this. And you're like, and I think there was sort of this contextualization of like, here's Master Splinter with one of the Ninja Turtles. Like, you're going to learn these things, expand your mind. And I think in some ways that sort of cheapened the perception of Dirk as like, he was curious because his mentor made him curious. He's just this way. He's like, that's not to say Holger didn't foster that, and Holger's not important to him. You know, that's his surrogate father in a lot of ways. But
kindred spirits. Really, yeah.
But like, you know, Holger ain't hanging out with him all the time now, and Dirk is just interested in learning and trying all these new things. That's authentically who the guy is. And now that he doesn't have to just mainline basketball all the time, he's really free to kind of explore all this stuff and learn all these things. And it's kind of just like, just this insatiable curiosity. And that's, again, like, we should all be that way. You know, that's really cool.
We're getting close to an hour. And I don't want to keep you all night, but I
do. Sorry, Mike, your part.
I would be remiss if I can only ask one more thing. I need to ask about kind of where you end the story with, which is where you get close to end the story with, is him talking about his children, and especially his oldest, his 10-year-old who's getting into hoops.
Middle son.
Yeah, sorry.
Oldest, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, middle kid, oldest son, but the second of the three kids. Yeah.
Max. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. I love that. I know Kirk, I'm sure, loved it because Kirk loves reading stories about pro athlete dads and parents.
Oh yeah.
Dirk, and this is nice because, you know, as private as Dirk is, I mean, you do not see his kids. I mean, recently you see pictures of him, but I remember for like the first 3-4 years of each of his kids' life, I remember being like, I want to see pictures of his kids. Like, cause I'm just, you know, I want to see his kids. It's cool. And you would never see pictures of him. I remember one of the first pictures I saw that like was shot publicly. Like, you didn't even see his face, cause he was like holding his kid towards him. Like, obviously he's trying to keep them from being, you know, in the public eye. And you're able to kind of open up with him about what's really kind of a tender moment of him connecting with his son over probably, you know, his most passionate hobby, you know, it's basketball, it's his life. And I love that. What was, you know, talking to him about that, do you feel like, cause a lot of the stories, like you've been talking to us tonight about like what's next. You kind of make the point that like, this is unlocking the kind of the coaching side of Dirk in a way that maybe it wasn't there earlier when he retired. What was your sense talking to him about, you know, teaching his son the game? Because I thought, I don't know, that was a tender moment. I really liked how you.
That was another one where it's just like, oh, this is really cool. You know, just hearing about this. I mean, I think between that and the stuff that he's telling me about kind of tutoring other people, like the coaching stuff, I think is really exciting to him. And who better to coach than your own son, right? So he's like, he's way into it. And like, look, he's a total, like, you know, as he told me, he's like, just look, he's like, you'll probably see me, like, if you want to see me around town, like, go to some like YMCA Garland for like a tennis tournament, because you'll probably find me there, right? Like, this is a dude who, like, there was a tournament, Wichita Falls, I think it was a volleyball tournament, it's in the piece, for his daughter, who's his oldest child. And like, he's sleeping at the Hampton Inn, like, Dirk hanging out at the Hampton Inn, right? So he's like, all these sports dad, that's who he is. But like, he was very deliberate about like, I don't want any of them to play basketball unless they find their way to it themselves. Like, I don't want to push this on them. I don't want this to be about their last name. I want them to do it because they love it. Mm-hmm. And Max had been bothering to play for a while before Dirk said yes.
Because he's playing
soccer and tennis. And Dirk was just like, all right, he's old enough now. He's played enough other sports. I could tell he's serious. He really likes it. It's not because I'm his dad. Like, let's do it. And he loves it. And I think, you know, the stuff that I saw this joy real on his face about, obviously he's his kids, but like, talking about teaching basketball, whether it's the NBA guys or the guy in Germany or now Max, like, that's the stuff. I don't know what role it takes. Like, do I think he's going to do that full time? I don't know. That's kind of hard to see. Cause like, those private coaches, I profiled Tim Martin last year, who's Victor Wembanyama's trainer, among other people. Mm-hmm. Victor, PJ Washington's one of his guys, Tyrese Maxey. And Tim is a whole wild story, but he's one of the best skills trainers in the NBA, and he's a Dallas dude. And so I've seen what that's like. Tim's life is crazy doing that stuff. I don't think Dirk would want to do that full time, but the idea of teaching the game, it's funny. The last 6 years, you know, and especially the first 2 years after he retired, he didn't want to pay attention to basketball barely at all. He just needed a big detox. And now I think he's slowly been on the up curve again. And now between TV and between his son and between like talking to the people at the game, like I can see a world where he's really invigorated over the next 5 years and he's really back into basketball again. Does that mean he's working for the Mavs? No, not necessarily. But I think like teaching and like rededicating himself to the game, like I think he's remembering. And this is where the FIBA thing comes in too. Like FIBA was kind of his first real thing where he had to do basketball stuff again. I think the passion with him, and he told me, he's like, look, like he kind of assumed he would really get back into it when one of his kids picked him up. Because he kind of figured eventually one of them would do it, even if he didn't push it on him. And he told me like, that's kind of the piece. And now it's starting to come back. And so I could see really just him getting reinvigorated about the sport a lot more in the next 5 years than he has been the last 5 years.
So if you'll allow me a bit of commentary and then I want to hear your thought. So we've not uttered the words Cooper Flagg very often during this. Yeah. As I read your section about Dirk, you know, visiting with Holger and then training briefly with that other player for about an hour, I started immediately thinking about something Tim Legler said following Cooper Flagg's first two summer league games. Now, Josh and I have been very in on Flagg because he's good. We're delighted to have him. But if you watch Cooper Flagg 4 years ago, and there's video, not very hard to find, 3 to 4 years ago, his shot was busted. It was not good. And then I heard Tim Legler, and then I watched him in summer league, and the man just looks like he's capable of any basketball feat. And I heard Legler talking about him and saying and Legler's obviously a shooter, saying he has a ton of work to do on his shot, this, that, and the other. And then I hear you, or I read you talking about Dirk. I hear you talking about Dirk on this podcast and his interest in teaching. I hear you talking about the kind of the relationship with the Mavericks or non-relationship, whatever you want to call it. Cooper meeting Dirk at the tennis tournament and them two talking. He had Cooper's trainer said something to the effect of, you know, they met. I'm just like vibrating. Like Dirk Nowitzki potentially teaching Cooper Flagg how to shoot the basketball. I'm sorry. I needed to get that out of my system because
are you saying like the idea of it is cool? Or are you saying
it's so like cool
reveal where you're like putting pieces together? Do you think that Cooper Flagg's one of the guys who's called him for the last year?
This is this is my wish casting thing. Like, years ago, I willed Luka Doncic to the Mavericks. Now I'm simply willing Dirk Nowitzki to offer Cooper Flagg jumper pointers. Like, I just love hearing it.
I feel pretty confident in saying that, like, if Cooper asked him, he'd say yes and be happy to help him. But I also feel pretty confident, if we know anything about Dirk's relationship with Luka, Dirk's not going to push it on anybody. You know, Dirk didn't push anything on Luka. It's just, if you want to ask me stuff. If you don't. It's all good. And Dirk, you know, Luka really probably asked him a lot more and learned from a lot more after the year they played together than the year they played together. So I think Dirk would very much approach it as, like, if Cooper wants to and Cooper reaches out, I'm sure he'd be happy to help him. But he's not going to be the dude who's just like trying to ingratiate himself with Cooper to help his game. You know, that's what we're doing.
I just love the idea of Dirk.
I mean, look, man, like who better to teach him, you know, like, and you know, Dirk was joking. He's just like, well, I don't think people are calling me to learn about from my defense and my rebounding. I'm like, hey man, you had good rebounding numbers. Let's not shade the rebounding.
Come 25 on. And 10 in the playoffs. Damn it.
Yeah.
Can't take that from him.
The rebounding is good. No, I think like I don't see this as some like irreparable bridge that can never come back with him in the organization. You know, like especially because like there are people there like who, a lot of his friends aren't there, but there are people who he's friends with who are there still. And this is a loyal human being and that's still his team. So, you know, like just because it is wherever it is right now, some of which has to do with just the place he's at in his life. I don't think this is some doomed thing we're never seeing around. Like I don't think this would be some Mark Aguirre situation where you don't see him around for 20 years or anything like that. So I don't imagine this being that way at all.
Well, I could easily bother you for another hour and I probably will in different situations, but
I'm around, boys. Lord, find me.
Do you have, you got anything else, Josh?
No, that was good. Mike, I appreciate you hopping on. And again,
thanks for having me, guys.
The story was great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you talked about all the people you talked to. The one thing I want to say is I bet that was like it's been a long time since I've never written anything this expansive that you just did, but it's been a long time since I've written a big feature story. And one of the things is just finding all the people to talk to, getting them to talk. I'm sure it wasn't that hard to get people to want to talk about Dirk. No. I mean, maybe scheduling wise, but I'm sure like once you got them on the phone, like, I'm sure that's like, everyone wants to talk.
No, I think like if you don't like Dirk, you're kind of the asshole, right? That's kind of just the way it works. So like everybody wants to talk about Dirk. Yeah. I think, and you know, props to Scott Thomas, helped me wrangle a few people too. You know, like Steve Nash is always a busy guy, living overseas a lot of the time. So that was one that came in probably like, God, I was already writing the first draft when I was able to get Steve. And that's not generally how I prefer to do it. But, you know, if you get Steve Nash, you get Steve Nash wherever Steve Nash wants to talk to you. So, it was great. Everybody wants to talk about it. Everybody's excited about it. I think everybody unanimously agrees he's going to be good at this. And I happen to be of that mindset too. So it's been a lot of fun to watch about 3 or so weeks.
Well, you're the man. You do a lot of things at D Magazine. You are Josh's employer over there at Strongside. What was the last thing you wrote for them, Josh? Come on. Get back on it, damn it.
He'll be up. Listen, I got to text Josh this month about writing for ahead of the season. That's a text message that's coming soon.
Yep. Basketball is upon
us. We're lucky to have him. And, you know, I tell people all the time, like, I love reading you guys. And, you know, there aren't enough places in the world that let people develop as writers, and it's a testament to what the two of you do. So, you know, I'm always a big fan of that. And this is a show that I listen to pretty much after every game of the season. So, you know, big fan
You're
of this.
A lunatic.
I'm down here too.
I was not excited about basketball because getting back in the grind sucks, but I am now just like,
you're invigorated. You're like Dirk.
So, okay, you can find over Strong Side at D Magazine. They publish something at least every day, and it's all great writing with a variety of different writers on all the major sports in Dallas. I've actually really enjoyed the hockey stuff because I just don't know anything about hockey.
We have the three best Stars writers, and I'm including people on full-time payrolls. You will not find three better Stars writers than Sean Shapiro, Robert Tiffin, and David Castillo. They're all amazing. They all do different stuff. Just a murderer's row. Those three dudes covering the stuff.
You got to make the magazine part of your internet swing is the point. I need to go look at the Instagram. I've been thinking about that the whole show, but I didn't want to get distracted.
There is an Anchorman trailer that's like 2.5 minutes long, and it's incredible, and you have to watch it. You will die at how good Dirk commits to the Ron Burgundy bit.
Love it. Well, Josh and I'll be back on Monday following the Mavericks' Fort Worth-based debut against the Oklahoma City Thunder, whatever's going on with that. And we'll try to have Mike on again. Mike, you just invite yourself on the show anytime you got a Mavs take during the season. We love hanging out with you. Okay?
Noted. Appreciate you, boys.
Kirk Henderson, Josh Bow, Mike Bellucci, we have had fun, and everyone have a great weekend. Go Mavs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.